ready for the Word tonight? Turn in your Bibles with me. Once I get my notes turned the right direction. Last week we started talking about the character of the minister. And last week we mentioned that a minister must have courage. And understand, we're all ministers, right? Some are full-time, five-fold. Others are ministering whatever assignment they've got. But we're all to be ministers of God. A minister must have diligence. They must have dignity. They should develop tact. I'm still working on that. My wife's trying to help me. They must have discretion. And tonight, we'll just start off with, well, tell you what, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 22. It says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now we know he's talking about our bodies washed with pure water. He's talking about the Word cleansing us from all uncleanness, right? But as well, I believe it's important that Christians be somewhat neat or clean. You don't have to be a perfectionist. You don't have to be OCD about it, but somewhat be kept. You should not be, you know, the one people don't want to be around because of how you smell or look, right? You're representing Jesus. Now, I don't go so far as John Paul. John Paul believes every minister, when they come to church, should be in a suit and tie. You follow me? Whether you're preaching or not, you should be in a suit and tie. You should wear your very best outfit to church. Well, I don't know that that's necessary. Apparently, you don't either. And, just kidding. I don't believe God has a dress code. But I do believe that we should represent Jesus in an honorable fashion, right? So, we should take care of ourselves. Hair, you know, teeth, whatever. As well, we should be courteous. Again, we're representing the Lord. It's amazing how many Christians are a little too overcurt in their conversations, too corrective, too judgmental. We should be courteous people. We should be people that others want to be around, right? As well, I believe there's a requirement we be punctual. Now, again, I'm not a perfectionist about punctuality. You can see when I come in here that sometimes I'm right on time or close to it. But we should endeavor to follow through with our commitments of time. Amen? I mean, if we want God to honor our words should carry weight regarding what we do and our commitments to other people. So punctuality is important. But I want to go to the next one. A minister should have a heart of love. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Of course, we know this is the love chapter, right? Or the marriage chapter. They always speak this at marriages, at weddings. Let's start at verse 4. Charity or agape love suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Remember this morning we were talking about what is it that irritates you? To walk in love, you've got to deal with those irritations. Thinketh no evil. There's Philippians 4:8, dealing with your thoughts. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity or agape love never faileth. I believe if you want to truly represent Jesus in any type of ministry, position, or activity, you should endeavor to have these attributes functioning in your life. Now, we've talked about it before. When you're really under the influence of supernatural love, these things happen automatically. if love, can we just say, ascends upon you or descends upon you, love comes upon you, you will automatically be patient. You will be kind. You will be humble. You'll succeed in whatever you put your hand to because love will virtually dominate your thoughts and emotions. But until it does, we have a responsibility to do some of these things by faith. You follow me? To control your thoughts, to control your actions, to be kind, to be gentle, to not be boastful. And so to truly represent the Lord, it's important that we activate these things in our life. Amen. Because if I hear anything, if I hear one single excuse, I hear more than any other, why people don't want to come to church is because it's full of hypocrites. How many have heard that one before? They say one thing, but they live another way. I want people where I go to say, he obviously follows God, whether he's behind the pulpit or whether he's out in public. Right? And to be an effective minister, I believe that you do that in your daily walk as well. That you represent Jesus in everything you say and everything you do. And you don't have one face or one facade you put on at church or around the brethren, another facade you put on everybody else. Amen. I want to be the same whether I'm in church or out of church. And I believe God wants us to be that way, but He wants us to be Christ-like in what we do and what we say. Go over to Galatians chapter 5. I mentioned this verse this morning. Verse 6 says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything or uncircumcision. Do you understand what that means? Paul in Galatians was dealing with Christians that were trying to still follow the law versus trust in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So Christians who were non-Jews, once they were saved, were being encouraged to be circumcised. And Paul came in this book and he said, who's bewitched you that you would try to follow the law when nobody's ever been able to obey it except Jesus? So he said, neither circumcision does anything for you or uncircumcision, right? But then he says, but faith which worketh by love, or faith which is energized by love. See, if we want the anointing on our life, if we want God's unction to function, if we want His power on our lives, it's important we do what we know to do to walk in love. And so, it's important we be people that endeavor to walk in this love of God. And to do so requires you do self-examination to decide what's standing in my way, or standing in the way in me between the love flowing out. And make changes. Repent. Confess the word. Act on it. Watch God make up the difference. And so, to be a person of love, it means we have a love for God. And also God's love's in our heart. And we're letting it manifest. It's impossible, listen to me, it's impossible to do God's work effectively without His love filling our hearts. For one thing, you'll fall prey to the wrong motivations. If love is your motivation, you will never fall. Do you follow me on that? Because it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, add into your faith virtue to virtue, knowledge, patience, all the way through. And it said, if you do these things, you will never fall. If you will endeavor to walk in love and hear the Spirit of God as He leads you, you become undeceivable. You become bulletproof to the devil. And so it's important we keep that before us, because what happens, people lose out on their love walk, and all of a sudden the people they're ministering to become targets to use or take advantage of, or other people become people you just want to get something out of, and you lose the wrong motivation, or you lose the right motivation, you develop wrong motivations, and all of a sudden the enemy has an entry point. We didn't draw it on our drawing this morning, or we haven't yet, but we drew the 8 windows to go into God's blessing. Remember the 8 windows we drew? And then we also conversely drew 8 counter windows that are the gates of hell. death, robbing God, self-serving, selfishness, unforgiveness. We could go all the way through. And actually, when you function in those counter gates, those gates of hell, I believe each one in some way opens windows in your life or doors to the demonic to function. Because the results are you function in the works of the flesh. When you function in the works of the flesh, guess what? You give access to the enemy to move into your life and even control you to some level. So it's important we walk in love to shut all those doors. Amen. Who wants to follow the non-loving? I want to sense the love of God, whoever I'm connected to, right? To me, it's one of the defining characteristics of Apostle Callahan. He is the most kindest, one of the most humble men I've ever known. Amen? Knows who he is in Christ. He carries authority, but yet does it with a total motivation of love. I want that in my heart. I think we should, right? The next thing, the minister should walk in faith. How many know the word says the just shall live by faith? My job, I believe the job of the ministry is to teach us to function in faith. In fact, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Next book over. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. My job is to perfect you, right? For the work of the ministry. For the edifying or growth of the body of Christ. Now he's talking about the edifying of the body of Christ. He's not talking about numerically as much as he's talking about spiritually. And how do we grow spiritually? By faith. Everything we accomplish in the kingdom of God is by faith. And so my job and the job of the fivefold, and really your job in your life, is to be a teacher of faith and to grow your own faith. And how can we be people that are proclaiming faith to others that we don't have? Let me take you this direction. This is a word of faith church, right? We believe that we're to be functioning in the supernatural. We believe God intends for His church to be functioning in the anointing, in the miraculous. We're to be people that live above the natural. We can live in the impossible. Does anybody have a problem believing that? Jesus said, I'm going so that you can do the greater works. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall do also. Now, what's another word for believeth? Faith. It's the same word. If you go to, it's actually John 14:12. If you go to the verse, he said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. That word believeth there is the same word for faith. He could just as well said, he that has faith in me, the works that I do, he'll do also. So if we want to do the greater works, live in the impossible, do the miraculous, we've got to become people of faith. Amen. And so when you tell people about your church, Tommy, you know you want to bring people in here. We want to see the body of Christ increased in power and number. You got to tell them, yeah, we go to a church that believes in the supernatural. We believe in the healing power of God, the prospering power of God, the deliverance power of God. And they say, well, what's it done for you in your life? You should be able to tell them something faith has done. Right? We're not just to tell people about what's going on in the church. We're to be living what the church is teaching so people will be drawn by our testimony. And if you want to really be somebody that can minister for the kingdom of God, you've got to be a person of faith. Amen. And target building and using your faith. Because in my opinion, religion cannot stand effectively before a true testimony of the power of God. See, religion says, well, there is no miraculous taking place anymore in the church. The religion says, well, you know, God doesn't always heal. Maybe He does, maybe He doesn't. Religion says, you know, God's not delivering anymore. We have all these medicines now. But you know, those arguments fall flat when you say, well, you know, the doctor said I was going to die, but God raised me from the dead by the power of God. God multiplied my finances. He restored my marriage, whatever. God did it supernaturally. See, to be an effective minister, you've got to be a person that has a testimony. And to have a testimony requires faith. And to have faith requires intention in developing it. And I want to be somebody that's targeted in using my faith at the highest levels. Amen? Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 12. Well, let's back up. Verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end. Now, here He's talking about the work that the saints have been doing. You follow me? And then He says that you be not slothful or lazy, but followers of them who through faith, say faith, faith and patience inherit the promises. If you want to be somebody people want to follow, in line with the Word, then you need to be a person of faith and patience who's manifesting promises. Amen. See, I want to have on my life, and I want the people in here to have on your life, so much anointing that people could not deny that God's moving. My best evangelical tool for this church is you. The most powerful thing I have to bring people into this church is your miracle testimony. And it doesn't mean you were about to die and God raised you from the dead. It can be just that God delivered you from something, right? God healed you of something, delivered you from, you know, bankruptcy or whatever it would be. God prospered you. But you are our testimony. In fact, Paul told that to one of the churches. He says, you're my testimony. You're my epistle. You're my epistle. What you do determines the increase on the church to some level. Do you follow me? And so my goal is to get you excited about moving in the power of God yourself. I don't want to build a big church that has thousands of members and none of them living it, which is going on in a lot of places. Mega churches are being built and nobody's manifesting anything. Oh, there are some fun services, some from praise times, has some good youth programs, seemingly good, you know, exciting. But nobody's being healed, nobody's being delivered. Or if they are, maybe the pastor himself has some gifts on his life he's moving at and seeing some people delivered. But the people aren't being built up. I want more than just me manifesting some anointing. I want you manifesting the anointing. I want you doing what I do and beyond. Because Jesus said that's how the kingdom is supposed to function. In fact, He said, I'm going so you can do more than I'm doing. I want you to believe that God will move through your life even if you're not full-time. Even if you're holding up two jobs, you so believe in the power of God that He'll do the miraculous through your hands. Amen. But it requires faith and willingness to step out. I really believe that most of you here that have been in this church very long, even if you haven't, most of you here have more power on your life than you realize. I'm hearing testimonies frequently from several of you. Many of you come to see, Pastor Jack, I prayed for somebody, laid hands on them, they were healed instantly. I'm hearing this often. You know, God showed me this and I spoke to somebody's life and it was true. And I'm hearing these testimonies. I want you to believe that you're already called of God full time. Because you are, whether you're full-time ministry, you're called of God full-time to be a minister. And you expect His power to move on you. And be willing to pray for some people. Amen. With faith. And that you take active steps to build the anointing on your life. Be willing to fast. See, I fast. One of the main reasons I fast is for the anointing. Because I've done it long enough to know that when I fast, the anointing increases. How much do you want the anointing on your life? Enough to go without a cheeseburger for a day or two? Sounds pretty good right now. Really believe that God wants to move through your life. Not just to bless you, but to be a blessing to others. God told Abraham, I blessed you to be a blessing. That God will move through you. Amen? So you've got to be determined to be a person of faith. Matthew chapter 9. Let's go to a few verses on this. See, we're doing Sunday nights right now. It's on hands-on ministry, hands-on application of the things of God. So, it's more than just teaching you how to do some things. It's creating you a desire and a belief you can do it. A desire to do it and a belief you can do it. And what it takes to position yourself for it. So, when we're teaching these things, I'm trying to teach you what's required to develop this anointing and to get people to want to let you release that anointing on their lives. Amen. See, I so believe in the power of God in you guys. I believe when you shake hands with somebody, you should intentionally, in the back of your mind, actually in the front of your mind, but not saying it, intentionally releasing anointing on them. Because that's what I do a lot of times. If I shake hands, I'm saying, how are you doing? But I'm going, Father, let the anointing flow through me right now to them. And it's already on you. There's more anointing on you guys than you realize there is. Why? Because there's so much Word in you. It's now been 25 years ago. About 25 years ago. Maybe 24. Pastor Callan sat down with a group of us that were seeking out. We were praying every morning, 6 to 7 o'clock. Every morning at the church, we'd come out 5 days a week to pray. Prayed about 20 to 40 people, always at least 20, usually not more than 40 people, every morning praying, an hour in tongues. But there were a group of us, Pastor Callahan pulled to the side, and he says, God's told me to give you extra instruction, basically. He knew we were called, all of us ended up in full-time ministry, all of us ended up senior pastors. And he started instructing us, and he sat us down one day, and he said, I recognize the calling of God on your lives. And he said, right now, you know more word and more about the kingdom of God than the vast majority of pastors in this city. But he said, there's still a lot you got to learn. Of course, we're still learning. The point is that I want to make is, you've been in here very long, you already know more word than most pastors in the city. If you understand how faith works at all, you know more about the realm of the Spirit than most pastors in the city. Because most ministers are just caught up talking about rules and regulations, do's and don'ts, and how to be a nice person. how to survive life psychologically. You actually know there's a supernatural force that's risen upon your life that you have available to use, and you've learned how to use it. Do you follow me? Which to me qualifies you for full-time ministry or for being used of God. We'll put that, being used of God more than the vast majority of preachers in this town. Because most of them don't even believe in laying on of hands. And if they did, they didn't believe anything would happen. You really believe in it, don't you? Well, now expect God to use that. Expect God to give you opportunities. And when you pray, believe for something to happen, because there's more power on you than you realize is on you. Amen. And my goal in here is not to raise up thousands of Christians who, you know, just like to come to church. I want to raise up an army of believers who move in the anointing. And I believe that's God's plan. Of glory, chasing, glory-filled revivalists. But this requires a people of faith. Matthew chapter 9, right? Go to verse number 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying, saying, "The Son of David, have mercy on us." Now, first of all, what I want to bring out of this is, why were they crying to Jesus, "Have mercy on us"? What prompted them to do that? You want to know? They had a need. They heard he had a power. In other words, his testimonies created a desire or created a platform for him to minister from. He didn't have to send out flyers, you know, to say, "Hey, miracle ministry here." The word already spread. The word of who he was and what was on him had spread all through the country. And so they were crying because he had already demonstrated something was on his life that could do what nobody else could do. Which again brings up the point of you having this power activated to create a following to want to have what you have. See, it says, the writer of Hebrews says, "Be you followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." If you want to be used of God, you should be somebody that they want to follow. Which means you better be inheriting some of the promises through faith and patience. Amen. And somebody that's going to really minister does this intentionally. They pray, "God, give me somebody to pray for. Give me somebody to cast a devil out of. Give me somebody I can be used on behalf of." It says in verse 28, "And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye," that word "believe" there, it's the word pistis in the Greek, it's the word faith. "Faith you," do you have faith that I'm able to do this? They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, so be it unto you." And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." So he said, "According to your faith, so be it." What was it that caused them to have faith that he could do it? It was that he'd been doing it. The testimony. In other words, the evidence or experience people had of him already demonstrating this power. So when he said, "Do you believe? Do you have faith I can do this?" They said, "Yes." Why? They'd heard what he was capable of. If you want people to come to you, develop a road track of living or winning by faith. See, when if you really want God to use you, practice where you're at. So many people say, well, God, if you call me full time, then I'll start moving in these gifts. If you really want me to move out in this power, you know, give me a platform. No, just start moving out in the gifts. Move out in the power, move out in faith. And you demonstrating that you'll do it and God will answer it will produce the platform. I've heard several people say it before, that the first person they ever prayed for, laid hands on, died. But they kept going. The next one was healed, or the next one was healed. I don't remember the first people I laid hands on, first person. I don't remember what happened in regard to their healing, but I know after I did it for a while, and it was forever went to ministry, things were taking place. People were being healed. People were being delivered. You got to say, God, use me now where I'm at. Get your faith involved in it. Speak it out. Amen? And then don't be afraid. Remember we talked about before, you've got to have courage. Don't be afraid to be used. I was speaking to somebody earlier today, and they had heard a sermon last year at the Word Rally about how we're to be, what was the term? Basically, to turn the world upside down. We're to be functioning in His power. And they told a friend of theirs who was a Christian that we're to be people that move out in the supernatural, basically. And the friend started mocking them and have been mocking them ever since. Where's the supernatural power? Listen, if you're going to move out, you're going to be mocked by some people. Patty and I, 33 years ago, started being mocked. 30 years ago, we were being mocked. When I quit my job, we were being mocked by family members. Not to mention our closest friends abandoned us. There was a period of time I didn't have any friends, for the most part. There was a couple, you know, church friends, but all my close friends left me. Said, he's crazy. Amen. Or they were waiting for me to backslide. That's what most of them were doing. And there were a period of time our families, both of us, thought we were nuts. But they're not laughing anymore. Amen. Why? We have a track record. And we have testimonies. They may not believe the testimonies. You follow me? But there are people that do. And you got to be willing to be mocked, to be willing to ask somebody if I can pray for you and have them turn you down. In public, when I ask people, can I pray for you? I would venture to say less than 50% have a positive response. And talking about out in public, not talking about in the church. And usually the responses are something like, oh yeah, you go ahead. Or no, I go to church, I pray. Or I know God. And it's like, no. And you got to be willing to take that small level of rejection for the one that says, please. And lay your hands on them. And watch the pain go. Watch them be healed. Because here's a funny thing. Here's a spiritual truth. I don't know if I could point to a verse to it or not. But until you get enough boldness to position yourself to be embarrassed, if it doesn't work, it probably won't. Did you follow that? Until you're willing to put yourself on the line in faith that God will move through you, it may not. We've had too much in the church of these, yes, I'll remember you in prayer stuff. And not enough of, in Jesus' name, glory to God. Now don't act stupid, you follow me? You know, unless faith hits you and anointing hits you level, don't be slapping people on the head and say, in Jesus' name. But Be willing to do it publicly. Amen. I'm just speaking stuff as it comes to me. And don't make excuses in advance if it doesn't work. Because we want to do that sometimes. Well, I'm going to pray for you, but nothing happened. Just know that God's still moving. What's going to happen? Nothing. Have enough boldness to say, I believe in the power of God. I believe if I lay hands on you, the power of God's going to hit you and God's going to heal you. And work the word until you believe it. And then watch the Spirit of God start dropping on you to pray for people. Amen. Matthew chapter 15. Let's just go straight to verse 28. I don't read through that whole passage. About the woman that came to Jesus who was from Canaan. She was a non-Jew. And Jesus wouldn't pray for it first because he said, why should we give the children's bread to the dogs? She said, even a dog eats from the bread, from the crumbs that fall from the master's table, right? Verse 20, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. That woman was willing to humble herself, even be publicly made a spectacle of, to receive what Jesus had. And what did he do? He went beyond what he normally did and prayed for her daughter. She was made whole. Be willing to be embarrassed. And when you go to God with it, God, they laughed at me. Just say, God, they laughed at me. He'll say, you know what he's going to say? They laughed at me too. But you stepped out and you believed God. You're willing to go beyond, you know, that people thought you were normal. Again, this goes back to the courage thing. If you really want the power of God to move through you, you got to lay aside some normal. You got to be radical enough to be vocal enough to proclaim the power of God's real and it moves through you. And do it in a way that you may position your reputation on the line. And watch what God does. We've had way too much bashful Christianity. And read about the men and women of God in the Bible that moved out in the miraculous. You'll find that they were bold. How about remember after the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 3, it says Peter and John were going to the temple. There was a lame man laid at the gate, right? And, you know, he looked at them, you know, thinking he was going to get an alms. And Peter said, silver and gold have we none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk. And he did. Now the gate was a public place. That's absolutely bold. Had he done any miracles before? Not a one. Peter had not yet ever done a miracle. At that point in time, he got bold. Now I believe the Spirit of God came on him. I believe the gift of faith hit him. I believe there was a supernatural boldness in him. He'd been filled with the Spirit and something hit him. But notice, it required a boldness. Then later, the religious leaders call him before them to persecute them for having proclaimed this healing. And Peter then stands up and says, you guys are the ones who crucified Jesus. That's bold. He was willing to lay aside his reputation of being normal to see the power of God move. And you'll find it all through the Scriptures. Men and women of God being bold for the kingdom. And God would move on their lives. Again, don't try to make a fool out of yourself. Don't try to be, you know, a spectacle. I believe it's disgusting in God's eyes for somebody to not want to claim Him and be embarrassed of His power. And I believe it's just equally as embarrassing when somebody tries to be a spectacle for their own glory. You follow me? I'm about to pray. It's one thing you're announcing so God, people can see the supernatural. Another one when He wants them to see you. And so, be willing to step out. Next, the minister must live a life of holiness. Again, this is one of our windows, isn't it? In fact, all three of these, to some level, are one of our windows we talked about. Love was the switch we talked about that activated faith. But faith was a window. It was one of the doorways to God's blessing. So it was holiness. I believe without a life of holiness, you compromise God's ability to anoint you. Holiness being walking obedient to the voice of the Spirit. Walking obedient to the Word that God's given to us. To be people above sin, right? Again, Hebrews 12, right, says, wherefore, laying aside all every weight and the sin which still so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race set before us. We're to lay aside sin. God requires holiness of His servants. Now, I mention this quite often, but I want you to realize this, because there's been a lot of men and women of God, great men and women of God, who carried great giftings and great anointings who later fell. They fell to alcohol, fell to sexual sin, some fell to homosexuality, sexual sin, and many other things, greed and everything else. Understand, when God gives gifts, He says the gifts and callings are without repentance. So when God gives a man or woman a gifting, it's on their life. And later, if they compromise their integrity, they compromise their walk with God, they can still function in that gift to some level. Do you follow that? And if they fall, they fail, don't look at the gift and determine whether or not that's truly a person of integrity. But if you want to be a person who carries the power of God and won't fall, you must be a person of integrity. And I personally believe in these last days, God's so protecting the anointing, He's only bringing it primarily to people who will walk in integrity. So if you want the anointing, be a person of holiness. Be determined to live above sin. Don't play with it. Don't compromise it. Plus, sin opens doors to the demonic. How are you going to function fully in the power of God when you've opened doors for the Antichrist spirit to come on you? For the demonic to come on you, right? Talk about an inner conflict. And the devil works overtime for people that have a calling on their life, that are even in ministry. He works overtime to try to tempt them to open the doors just a little bit. You follow? Oh, it's just a movie. What's in the movie? You follow me? You got to guard your heart. Oh, it's just a website. Just pictures. You've got to guard yourself. Well, you know, it's just harmless flirtation. You better be careful. How about this? It's just one drink, one toke, one pill. You're on vacation. You should be able to have fun. Those are things the enemy will try to tempt you into. And you got to keep those doors shut to live a life of holiness, to keep the anointing protected. Who wants to follow an unholy vessel in their desire after God? Again, remember we said that one of the major attacks against the church is the accusation of hypocrisy? Well, it's real. There's a lot of hypocrisy in the church. I don't know how many people, I'm embarrassed to admit this. I mean, I hate to have to admit this, but how many people have come to this church telling me they were sexually abused or taken advantage of or had a relationship with a pastor? What? But understand, the enemy works overtime to counterfeit things of the kingdom. He will sow his own people behind pulpits. to create hypocrisy in the church. But these things, again, these things should not be. And who wants to follow all of that? I heard a very well-known man of God, not very long ago, say they could commit adultery and be back behind the pulpit on Sunday. You know, a day later. And that it was okay with God because he was righteous. I'd run from that church as fast as I could. Not that he was doing it, he said that possibility is in the Word. I'd run from that. Holiness is mandatory to carry the power of God, the true anointing. You may carry a gift, but I want the anointing. I want the resident presence of God on my life. I want it at this level. I've told this story many times. I heard Lester Sumrall tell it. I believe it was years ago. And he was at a meeting, and they were on stage behind the curtain. They weren't out front yet. They were talking. And he was talking to another well-known minister of God. And Lester Sumrall said, "Did you feel that?" Hopefully I've got the names right. "Did you feel that?" And he says, "What?" He says, "The anointing just shifted." Right here standing here, the anointing just shifted. He said, "I only know one man on earth that carries that anointing. Oral Roberts just walked in the building." So he looked out, and sure enough, Oral Roberts had just come in. And Lester so knew the anointings, he picked up the miracle anointing on Oral Roberts. I want that. But you can't do it if you live an unholy life. And Oral Roberts, whether people like him or not, lived an extremely holy life. He was so dedicated to the anointing that when he went out to eat before he ministered, the evening before he ministered, he would not even sit at the same table with his wife. And I'm not recommending that, but he was so concerned about guarding the anointing, he didn't want to get caught up in any natural conversations before he went on stage to minister. So when people make fun of him and laugh, they have no idea the price he paid for that power on his life. How many major miracles that he saw take place. Amen. But there's a price to pay. The price is in holiness. Romans chapter 6. Well, turn to Isaiah 52. Let's go to verse number 10. "The Lord hath made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart ye, go you out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go you out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord." Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. That would represent some type of ministry. Something that you're caring for God, right? And he says, you've got to be clean. Protect your walk with God. And as I said, a lot of the temptations are subtle. Some of them are overt. But they're so subtle, they're meant to sucker you in, to pull you in a little bit so he can take another step and another step. But again, many are more overt. Have you heard the story of Jesse Duplantis on the airplane with the woman that propositioned him? One of my favorite stories. He's got more stories. He was flying on an airplane one time, and some apparently really attractive blonde sat down next to him. And she starts talking to him, and they're talking about, I guess, ministry, what he's doing, all this stuff. And finally would you like to sleep with me or whatever? I don't know the exact words. He jumps up in an airplane and goes, starts hollering, "Whore of Babylon! Whore of Babylon!" on the airplane. Well, how many know she didn't sit there any longer? That's how you shut down some temptation. Do you remember Frank Gifford? What happened with Frank Gifford? He was married to Kathy Lee. Very pretty woman, 20 years his junior, you know. And yet he fell prey, a Christian, proclaiming Christian. Yes, somebody propositioned him, and it was all a setup. And of course, it went full exposure, and he about lost his marriage. Of course, he's gone on to be with Jesus now. Repented, got it right. But that's how far the enemy will go to tempt you. You want to hear another story? Several big-name ministers, when they rent hotel rooms, never go into the hotel room alone or first. Because time and time again, they'll have somebody go in the hotel room and search it, and there'll be some woman naked in the closet with cameras around, trying to create false image. People, there's a lot of people sold out to Satan. And he will go to no, he will hold nothing back to try to create a false story to bring down a minister. Amen? And so they have people going ahead of them and clear out the room of people that just want their name in the paper or want to bribe or something else. And you say, well, I'm not a big name, but no, the enemy would still pay a high price to get you. Amen. Usually it's with some, you know, some batting eyes or bulging biceps he's going to try to pull you out with. Amen. That's why I married the most beautiful girl in the world, so I couldn't be tempted by anybody else. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Without holiness, you can't see God. Then how are you going to carry any high level of anointing? How's God going to keep you without from falling if you don't protect that holy walk? Recognize, once you're born again, you've been made righteous. And if you go after the Spirit, you'll stay righteous. But don't open little doors the enemy can get into and pull you down from that position. Amen? And you can't live a life of holiness on your own. Your willpower is not going to do it. It requires the Word and relationship with the Father. And we're called to it. Let me close with a few more. I'm not going to go to any verses with it. We're running out of time. The minister must be humble. You know, pride goeth before a fall, right? Pride and humility are polar opposites. So a humble person is teachable. A humble person doesn't lift up their soul above the Word. A humble person can be corrected. Proud person already knows everything and won't change for anything. You've got to become putty in the hands of God to mold how He wants to mold you. And to get out any impurities He wants out of your life. The minister also must be patient. Remember through faith and patience we hear the promises? You've got to be patient with people. You can't be a loose cannon. We talked about this morning, can't have a bunch of minefield triggers that other people are stepping on. Not to mention, if you're going to work with people, it's going to require patience. In fact, it's going to stretch your patience to the breaking point. Do you remember in Hebrews 6:12 we just read, it says, be ye followers, not slothful, but followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises, right? The word patience there is not the word Hupomone, and I know I always mess up the pronunciation. Hupomone means patience with circumstances. It's not that word. The word patience there is macrothumia. It means patience with people or long-suffering, enduring of people's shortfallings. And if you want to function in the anointing, you better learn to be able to deal with people letting you down. Amen. Well, I already do that. We all do that. Everybody's always disappointed by somebody. You got to develop enough spiritual fortitude. It doesn't get you off track, get you frustrated, bitter, angry, or unforgiving. We've got to be patient, people. And then finally, the minister must have a forgiving spirit. Again, we've talked, this is another one of the windows, isn't it? In fact, patience was a window as well. We talked about this morning. We've got to be people that are forgiving. If you want the anointing to flow in you, be willing to forgive people. Amen? It'll stop up the flow of the anointing in your life. But if you got anything out of this teaching, my desire is you'd really recognize who God's called you to be and you step out and start doing it. And then when you do, come and tell me the testimonies. Because Paul said this. He said, I have no greater joy than that my children walk in truth. The delight of my life is to hear you doing these things and you telling me how it worked. Amen? And when you tell everybody else how it worked, or you tell me how it worked, I'll tell everybody else how it worked. Father, we thank you for your word. Seal it in us. Cause us to be people of great faith, great anointing that manifests the glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, I'd be glad to pray with you. Otherwise, hug some necks and share the love of God. Be a blessing.